Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. I figure at some point these podcasts, the lame ones, are going to have to start dying off.
Dropping like flies.
You can see that there's a lot of people out there doing them that they're not even enthusiastic about doing them. So if you don't have passion for your own podcast, how's it going to continue?
Who has time for a five-hour show? Every day, we give you action-packed half hour a week. That's all you need.
I wish it was a half hour. We could do them every day. Welcome, everybody. Good. We are here at the compound. I'm here with my good buddy Paul. We have a lot to do today. We have a very precarious situation with the Yankees coming into town here in Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. Paul and I are using our show business connections, and we're just so far we seem to be striking out.
Tom is asking a girl out for the first time, is what it feels like. How do you ask a super famous person to give you a favor?
Well, you know, that's always a tricky thing. It's always a tricky thing.
You got to use it wisely.
You got to use it wisely, but you also, you know. In all honesty, I would rather go see a game now in August than go, if the Yankees come back, it's going to be the World Series.
Right.
I don't have to go to the World Series game.
See, that's one of the things that's on my list. I feel like I've never, especially in baseball, I've never been to like a super meaningful
playoff
baseball
game.
Yeah,
I understand that. I just assume it would be annoying.
I went to a Giants playoff game, like, when I was still, like, in my 20s. Like, do you remember the year that they were in the Super Bowl against the Ravens?
Yes.
Like, when they had Kerry Collins. It wasn't a very good team.
No, they got crushed.
And they played the Eagles in Giants Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this whole thing where, and it's like, you know, you used to criticize when people dance in this, you know, the end zone. It's
right.
Like, this is 100,000 people packed. They show this video of Rocky from, you know, because they're playing Philadelphia, Rocky, like, climbing the steps from the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then just out of nowhere, there's a huge giant that just steps on him. And it's New Jersey. The place just goes bananas. And coin flip, kickoff, Giants get the kickoff, and I think the last time this happened, the Giants run the kick back for a touchdown, opening drive of a playoff game.
Wow.
And it was like the loudest I've ever heard anything in my life. It was crazy.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the energy's got to be completely bonkers and fun, but I don't know.
Well, to go
so
in
much pressure.
LA, I don't know, that's not safe, right?
Well, I know. That's the thing. So I've got this one hookup where I can go without you, and I can go by myself on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be here Sunday anyway. You should just go.
With my buddy, George, who has these great seats, these amazing seats, like right behind the dugout of the Yankees. So, I mean, that'll be closer than when we are in New York. Do I wear the hat? I'm in a Dodger Uber fan is hosting me.
Is he really a Dodger fan? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But
I
back
thought
from
it was
the
show business.
No, back from the Brooklyn days as
oh,
a kid.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, he's the real deal. And but you know, I don't want to sit there and make eye contact with Glaber and Judge.
Yeah,
and be sitting there without my Yankee hat on.
Is there a way to wear like a Judge hat, just like the thing with the collar on it, and not seem like a, not to have a Yankee insignia, but to like
just wear like a,
give a wink to the Yankee fans.
Wear like a jacket with like a little Yankee thing on it.
Yeah.
Like a subtle thing rather than a hat.
Like Donnie Baseball or something like that. Or yeah, it's a tough one.
I think you just got to do it. I think you just got to do it.
See, I'm
all right. It went through.
Uh-oh.
We're sending this top secret text to somebody I don't want to say over the air.
No.
But he's, I don't think you can say he's a legend. I don't think you can.
Associated with the Yankees.
From the Yankee organization, one of the super top people.
Now,
and now we just sent a silly text saying, hey, remember when you said anything, anytime I can help you out at any point?
We want to. I mean, sure
the annoying part about this, the why this is a little schnorry is because it's like, you know, it's like when you perform in your hometown, it's like there's so many people asking. So I'm sure that's what's going on this weekend.
Right.
But you know what? Look, we don't.
This isn't
somebody. Right. I did a free show
for them.
Right. A free show. And I'll probably do more. It is a relationship, and it's not like it's not a show busy thing. This is what it is.
Right.
So if you're going to pull the trigger, you pull the trigger.
This
so,
is also why you pay people to do things.
What, an assistant?
No, I'm saying
they should have just paid me for
like
the show.
You did the show because it's understood that they're going to do something to hook you up, or else they would have just paid you to not deal with.
Honestly, I didn't even need anything. Like, this is just going through my baseball hookups. This is, I can't help it if they're all big.
Well, you have
people.
Like one actual, like, at Yankee Stadium hookup, and you try not to use that.
And I, you know, that one is great. My good friend Debbie, and she hooks me up all the time, and that's amazing. And this is my West Coast one, happens to be this guy.
And you also got the suite, you got to see her just so she knows that you do this all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And I also gave her bread.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, look, it might work out. Who knows? Maybe by the end of the podcast, we'll hear back. But we've sent it out there. That's all you can do. Because the Yankees are coming to town, and they're playing the Dodgers, and this is a prelude to possibly the World Series.
That's what everyone's saying.
I was just casually went on StubHub, and for decent seats, you're not spending less than $500-$600 per ticket.
Yeah.
The ones down in George's section are like $3,000. So this is a hot, hot ticket. Hot, hot time of year. You know, you gotta do it. I mean, it's kind of pretty crazy to be that close to the dugout for the Yanks. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, because when we went, you know, we're sitting in that first section. We're in the sweet, sweet seats, but you're on the opposite side.
Yeah.
We always tend to be on the opposing team side.
Well, that's the closest I've ever been, because you were nice enough to take me there. And yeah, that's the one when I went for spring training and we kind of sprung for the like first row
right
behind the dugout, which is like a different, it's still cool, but it's obviously you're not spending the money that you would. But just seeing the game, and you can see like what their eyes, like their facial expressions, like that, it's like you're there.
Yeah, it's pretty,
pretty cool.
Crazy. When we had that suite that your buddy hooked us up with, it was super cool because we were actually like hanging out with players and we were in the back. But to be in that luxurious of a suite, you're really, really far from the game.
Yeah.
Like you really, right? I mean, you couldn't
be. Yeah.
My favorite spot is if I were a weirdo who went to games by himself all the time and just, you know, like lived in the Bronx, and I had one of those jackets filled with pins.
Have your headset on like Bartman.
Yeah, have my little headset on, listen to the game, and I'd have my little paper, and I'd have like my little donut that I keep curled, stuffed in my pocket, and I just go to the games by myself all the time. It would be behind home plate.
Yeah?
Slightly off to the third base side, but so you can see the pitching coming in.
Right.
That is really, that perspective for me is the best. Because you get the whole infield, you get all the close plays, you sacrifice stuff deep in the outfield, but to see the pitching is just, so much better than seeing it from the side.
I will say, here's my one counter argument to that. Because I will agree that, like, that is amazing, but also, if you're in the bleachers,
mm-hmm.
in, like, let's say you're in right field,
right?
When a home run is hit, like in your section,
yeah,
it's like everyone won the lottery. It's like crazy,
right?
And like behind home plate, everyone cheers a little bit, unless it's like a huge game or something. Yeah. But like, just being a part of that, which is like,
because you're so excited because it's the first thing you've been able to see the whole game. Everything else is just this kind of abstract, far away thing.
I don't get it though. So if there's only one ticket, would you be going with him, or is it like another unknown?
It's person? It's my friend George, his old timey friend, childhood friend. And some other guy that he works with, who I don't know.
I was going to say, if it ends up being like Mel Brooks or something.
No, it's all four random dudes. But I figure, 4 o'clock, I guess that's the ESPN game. That's why it's at 4.
Yeah, yeah. Sunday night baseball.
Yeah. You know, that's a tough one to pass up.
Yeah. No, I got to leave out of the town in the morning. That's why I'm
going
to try to go Friday and Saturday. Seattle.
Back to Alaska?
Seattle. Where are you going? You're here
this
week?
I'm not. I'm here. I was just in Nashville.
Right.
Which is just completely exploding. You know, it was amazing. I'm sitting in Nashville yesterday, and I'm looking at this city, and everybody you talk to is just, there's, what they say, like 500 to 1,000 people moving there every day. It's like insane. And there's just building going up all over the place. And people are complaining a little bit about there's traffic for the first time. But it's, one of these smaller cities that's becoming a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Still a far way away from being what even Denver is. Not that far, but, they're not that. They're going through what Denver went through maybe 10 years ago. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and it's like, well, this is part of the puzzle that I'm always asking myself. Like when I shot that movie in Syracuse over the summer, the beginning of the summer, and you just see a place that was a huge thing at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It was this, hustling. It wasn't a huge city. It was like a medium, Syracuse. And but there's so many of those smaller market cities that are just, flat broke, and there's nobody around. There's no jobs. It's like a ghost town. And we're always kind of thinking, like, well, how do you bring a place like this back? You have these people that live here, and these beautiful homes, these beautiful old buildings, but there's just no jobs anymore. And they're just slowly dying, all these places. But then you see places like Nashville and Knoxville and Chattanooga, and it's like, well, those are starting to thrive. Those places are figuring it out. Like, what's the difference? Is it because they don't have to go through a horrible Syracuse winter, so the businesses are locating there? Is it just that the people are just more innovative? Like, why? It is happening. It's not like every city in the country is falling apart.
Well, no, it became like Nashville is kind of like Austin. Like, Austin became like kind of overwhelmed mm-hmm. with people. The same thing, like, oh, it's too busy.
Yeah.
The locals hate when all the festivals are happening and
it's
blah,
non-stop.
Blah. So now Nashville's gotten, like, younger because, it used to have kind of like a hick, country music.
It was like an older country thing.
And now people think that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's these older buildings and they build restaurants and kids move there for cheaper. I'm sure it's not going to be cheaper that much longer. But, that's like, that's an understandable thing. Like what Vegas and Phoenix went through. That's just like a cheap place to live.
Well, it's also predicated on jobs, right? You have to have jobs. That's the biggest thing.
A little
bit. Nobody can live there unless they're working.
I mean, it seemed, what was Austin? Austin seemed like everybody went out to eat, but they all worked at restaurants, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like circling the money around.
Yeah, but there's got to be some like leading industry of a place that's, you know, that people are getting this stuff.
I mean, there's like some production, you know, there's still like the music business is big there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what else they're filming, but it seems like every, like, I know a girl who's moving there next year, and she's with like an agency or one of those wings of LA that has an office out there now and that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
So I think it's like big enough that it's like show business wise that there's enough things going on there. I don't know. I wouldn't move there. Is that what you're asking?
What, for you to move to Nashville?
Would you move there?
To Nashville?
Yeah.
No. They don't, first of all, they don't have enough flights leaving that place. It's a hard place to get in and out of. And for what we do, it doesn't make that much sense. And it's not really my culture, you know.
Yeah.
It's very country.
It's Tennessee.
Yeah. And, you know, I would always feel like a tourist.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in those areas. I would always feel like a little out of the major employers and top companies in Austin. Austin Independent School District, City of Austin, Dell, Federal Government,
Willie Nelson,
IBM Corp, hospitals, healthcare, universities, Amazon, Apple Computer. So, like, of the top 10, 4 or 5 of them are government. And then the rest are tech.
Well, they also got a football team in the last, I don't know how many years ago that was, a hockey team, right?
What, Nashville?
Yeah. They're kind of, like, hovering on, like, being a major city.
Yeah, no, they've got, yeah. No, it's happening. It's definitely happening.
You know, like, take something like Vegas, which, you know, there's all this tourism going on anyway. Then they get a hockey team, and then now they have a football team. So that's another, I mean, how many jobs come into a city just from an NFL football team, you know?
Nashville, health, retail, and manufacturing. Vanderbilt University is 23,000 employees. Nissan.
Oh, yeah. Vanderbilt's pretty big.
HCA, Hospital Corporation of America.
Whiskey.
St. Thomas Health. Randstaff Staffing. Shoney's.
Oh, nice.
Electrolux.
Tom's
Kroger.
Never even eaten at a Shoney's, I bet. Have you?
Cracker Barrel. Why couldn't these places be in a place like Syracuse, say?
Upstate New York, just because I'm from there, has always struggled with that. You know, like it used to be, you know, it's like the Catskills, you know? Like it was a halfway point or like in the days of when you don't travel that much, it was like a waypoint to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like, well, who's stopping in Syracuse to go anywhere?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's become now just like a college town, pretty much. I mean, there's 50,000 students at
I guess
Syracuse.
It's the weather. Right? I mean, if you're thinking about like the places that those are hard, long winters. You have to really, if you're a company, and maybe it's because the state, maybe it comes from the state. The state doesn't give you as many tax breaks.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to live in Tennessee, you wouldn't want to live in a city, right? Or would you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's mostly people from other places are moving there because it's like, yeah, I don't know. There's not too many. I mean, I wanted to move to San Francisco at some point. But, you know, people are complaining about that. People are really complaining about New York. Like, just saying it's not the city that it was, and
mm-hmm.
just as a regular person to try to live there is tough.
In New York City.
Yeah. Like, obviously, everything shifted to Brooklyn.
I was talking to someone that that real estate has actually come down for the first time in Manhattan.
Well, it's like, I told you my buddy that's in the restaurants, they had this great restaurant, and the landlord kicked him out because they thought the rent was going to be like four times what it was,
mm-hmm.
and the building's been empty for a year.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and ever since Trump did the tax thing where you can't write off as much about of your real estate taxes,
mm-hmm.
That people aren't buying as much, so there's a lot more on the market. So maybe this is your time to move to New York.
That's right. Get it dirt cheap.
Yeah. A studio apartment for $500,000. I just feel like if we went to a place like Syracuse with some big ideas, we could own the city.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you were, I don't know.
You got to give people jobs. So maybe this podcast can do it.
You want the Syracuse Home Companion?
Yeah, start a theater up and just purely to support the people of Syracuse. We're just going to hole up there and start a radio show. And yeah.
Well, it's funny. You know what you usually talk about is a lot of it is food. Like I was in Alaska. And there was a guy from Syracuse,
uh-huh.
and he just started talking. I was like, oh, you missed that dinosaur barbecue, which is like the big barbecue in Syracuse.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, my mom orders it for Christmas every year. And it's like, yeah, if there was four or five more places like that made the city, uh-huh. you know, like when we go to places, like that's the everybody talks about. It's like, oh, you got to have... You know, even Cincinnati has chili or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's kind of a big deal, too.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it's trying to, there's no like one silver bullet. It's like, even watching Cleveland, how they kind of came back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes everything. Like, it usually takes like that. They had LeBron. Like, even right. that was like a big thing. Because there is a thing about, it's not just about, the jobs. The jobs come once people have like a real pride in the place.
Right.
And for the first time, like in Cleveland, people stopped moving out. Young people stopped leaving because they were psyched to be there. They wanted to be there. They didn't want to feel like they had to leave their home to go get work. So they just really believed in it and stayed and started doing stuff. And that all perpetuates, you know, it all starts to snowball. Then suddenly you have nicer restaurants and you have cooler places to go and people like being downtown. Then people start opening stuff up and then jobs happen. But it comes from like the spirit of the people and wanting to be there and wanting to make it work.
Yeah.
And that's what Nashville has. I mean, you go down there, those people are so proud to be there.
Right.
And that's what it really takes.
Yeah. That, I don't know if you remember. You know, when I first moved to L.A., the Clippers were always terrible. Like, they were mm-hmm. laughing stock. And the Lakers are always, like, good. They're kind of like the Dodgers. Like, people go see them whether they're winning or not. You know, yeah. It's just kind of built in. So you go downtown, and half the week, no one's there because nobody's seeing the Clipper games. And on the nights that the Lakers are there, it's $50 to park, and all the restaurants are jammed. And then Chris Paul comes to the Clippers... And immediately, like, there's twice as many restaurants down there. There's new hotels.
Right.
There's new... And that was just from, like, one guy.
Yeah.
And that's in L.A., so you can imagine what it does to Tennessee, you know?
Yeah, huge difference. Yeah, there's no major sporting stuff in, like... Well, that's why Cleveland was a big deal. But Syracuse isn't. You know, what do you have up there? You have... Like you said, it's a college town.
Yeah. So, like, when their sports are, you know, they have a football game, there's 50,000 people in a dome.
Right.
And then everyone leaves,
gone. It is a weird thing. There is always that thing that everybody kind of has to do in their head of whether you stick around in your hometown or you... Mm-hmm. Or you take off and you get out of there. And sometimes you go and you never come back. Sometimes people go and then they go back eventually.
Right.
You know, there's that kind of thing. I could see going back into New Jersey sometimes. I think maybe that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang out at the beach. See some friends.
For the 3 weeks that there's a beach.
Yeah. It's just so crowded now. But there is, I never feel like the idea of, even though I did the opposite, I don't feel that sticking around is a bad thing. Like there's something cool about being in a spot and your family's nearby.
Right.
Like that idea, I think there's something to that.
Yeah, it's a stability thing, and also, you know, especially in a town like mine, I can still go back and know everybody there, and mm-hmm. Oh, that's this guy's kid, or he's a Bensley, or, you know, the names are the same, yeah. And all that kind of stuff, and even the teachers are still there, like, yeah. Amazingly enough. Like, I had a teacher who was, like, super old when I was there, and someone's like, oh, we just saw Mrs. Oakes. I was like, she was, like, 80 when we were in school. How old is she now?
Who's the hottest teacher?
What's that?
Who's the hottest teacher?
That's, we got kind of, it wasn't like any of the tabloids. I don't think we had one.
You didn't even have a good-looking teacher?
Nah.
Not one?
I don't think so. Not in, like, terms of after I've been around the world. I mean, like...
Yeah, but when you're little Paul with your pencil...
I'm sure the first time you saw, like, an adult woman's leg, you're just like...
Yeah, we had a Spanish teacher who really was... not much to look at, but she had really big boobs, and all the kids went crazy for her.
And you had to call her Senora?
Yeah, we didn't have that many lookers either. But there were a couple of guys. There was a high school basketball coach who ended up dating one of the players.
Well, that's the thing that always happens in a small town. There's, like, too many. Like, if we were on...
And then they got married, and then they're, like, still together.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, it has to either go all the way or you can't kind of stop short.
Well, for some reason, it didn't really bother people back then. And then
yeah.
You see them now and then you're just, you know, somebody posts a Facebook thing about, you know, he's like taping her ankle when she's like 18. And it's like,
Yeah.
This is
a little weird.
She did look young.
We had a Lecce art teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In junior high, he looked like Wolfman Jack. He had like this beard and mustache and the big, thick black hair.
Uh-huh.
And he used to just come up behind the girls and massage their shoulders during art class.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was before we were anywhere near like thinking about it really being a problem.
Right.
But we all knew it was a problem. Like, we would all talk about it in sixth grade, like, and it's weird, and like imitate him, like coming up and rubbing on the girl's shoulders.
Yeah.
It was definitely, all the girls were creeped out, but no one made an issue out of it.
Yeah, that's, you know, the one thing that we all knew that, there was some boozy teachers. There was like, we probably had like four that everyone's just like, you go get help, you're like, holy cow, what the hell?
There were a lot of teachers because. When we were in school, there were a lot of teachers that had been in the war.
Oh yeah!
So they were all kind of a little shell shocked and drinking, smoking. They used to smoke like crazy.
Yeah,
just inside and outside the classroom, just getting all liquored up.
Well, that's why
no one got into it because they loved children.
Yeah, we had a guy that was like, I don't know what's, I think it was like history or something, but the guy was like, you didn't want to go anywhere near the desk. It was just like some kind of grain of alcohol. But like whenever he drank, he was like a bald guy, and he just had like a, whenever he drank, he had this big red spot like right in the middle of his head.
We were supposed to go to Washington, D.C. There was a typing teacher who everybody tortured. Mm. We had typing. We had those like IBM typewriters.
That's still, I mean, I might have been like the last, because everything went like computer. Like, we had computers then, but for some reason, like, we still had all these typewriters, so they're just like, keep teaching it.
Yeah.
That's still the best class I've ever taken in my life.
Oh, my God. It was lucky to have it.
Yeah.
But this poor teacher, she was kind of odd, and people just abused her.
Yeah.
One time, my friend put chalk in her soda. She used to drink Diet Cokes, and he put chalk in it. And I remember, and we were all just waiting for it. And I started like take a sip and make a scared face and pull a piece of chalk out of her mouth. Oh, kids were so awful. And then someone stole the typewriter balls.
Oh man!
Like on those typewriters, you know those balls that had all the letters on it—they're electric, and someone stole a whole bunch of them. And
that's like a felony.
Yeah. And they said if the person didn't return the balls or admit that they did it, then the whole eighth grade class was not going to be allowed to go to Washington, D.C. on the traditional trip. And nobody confessed. And, you know, it had to be one of my friends because they were like the worst ones for that kind of stuff. And they wouldn't even admit it to me or to each other. It was like it got really hairy, but nobody returned them and we didn't go to Washington. And then the kids were so pissed off that we didn't go to Washington that they just tortured her for the rest of the year. Just like they would every once in a while, she would be up at the board or whatever, and someone would take a dictionary and just slam it to the ground.
Yeah.
Like I'm making it like a loud ba-boom sound. She'd be all startled. It was brutal. Brutal.
Did you ever get in trouble in high school or did you?
Junior high, not really high school.
Yeah.
I got in trouble in junior high a good amount.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was big and loud, and I would, I was kind of a bit of a ringleader with some of the bad kids. I mean, bad, you know, we didn't really do too much, but we got in trouble. One time I became class president in seventh grade.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was big. I had to give a speech. And I see
that on your Wikipedia.
I was class president in seventh grade. And I started a food fight.
Oh, man.
And in the cafeteria. And it was a big one. Everyone was throwing food around. And they came to get me. Someone told on me that I was the one who started.
Oh, man.
And I was about to be impeached. And then my friend Joe, I brokered a deal with my friend Joe, and he took the fall for me.
Oh, yeah?
And he said that he started the food fight. And
political corruption.
Political corruption. And his mom got called and everything, and the principal knew. He knew that I started, like it was obvious, and he wanted to strip me of my title, but my buddy just took one, and he's just like, you can't deny it. A kid saying, no, it was me. You got to go with the kid who's admitting it.
Yeah.
And the principal didn't buy it, but I got to keep my job.
He's your Billy Bush.
He's my Billy Bush, exactly. and that guy Joe is still in that hometown.
Oh, nothing like a food fight, though. It's exciting.
Man, they're exciting. I wonder why we don't do them more often.
Throwing stuff and like... In, like, your early teenage years, there's nothing like... We just... Everything was about, like, some kind of, like, rubber band that shot a paperclip.
Yeah.
Like, we had these secret little, like, squirt guns.
Uh-huh.
Just anything that could torture another human being.
Maybe the people that stay in the town are the ones who just... had so much fun, they don't want it to end. I saw the Netflix special, A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Yeah.
You see that film?
Yeah, I know quite a bit about that guy.
Yeah, Doug Kenny.
Yeah.
About, he was one of the co-founders of National Lampoon, and it seemed from that documentary that he started a lot of food fights, like as an adult.
Yeah.
Like they would just start in a meeting or whatever, and... They would just start a food fight, and really made me think, why don't we do that more often?
Well, that's the thing is, like, if you ever went to, for your food show, if you went to, like, one of those Michelin star restaurants and just started throwing stuff, that would end up in TMZ. That'd be the best way to promote it.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be pretty fun. That'd be a good, prank show. You just keep going to fancy places and starting food fights.
Nobody's throwing $100 steak.
And no one's throwing them back. You'd be like the one weirdo throwing stuff, and you'd get called out and pulled out by the cops because no one else. If you got hit, if someone threw a potato at you in a restaurant, you wouldn't throw it back. You'd wait for the waiter to come and take this guy out of the place.
But do you remember, like, because we had, in high school anyway, I mean, middle school would be the one where, like, somebody threw a pepperoni or something like that. And then it was, like, a subtle, like, who did that? And then someone might throw something back. In high school, if, like, one carton of milk, like, made it into the air, it was just everything that was on the tables just got thrown, and everyone just ran out. You know what I mean? It was like some kind of blitzkrieg.
Just bedlam.
And you could just see the janitors just like, they know that it's like cleaning everything up for the next 2 hours.
Who did this? I want to know the energy. Right now.
Well, the whole thing is like you're wearing, you know, your school clothes,
and you're
so self-conscious.
Pizza.
So that's the whole thing. Is like as soon as anything's flying, you're just throwing whatever's on your tray and just ducking for cover.
We had a guy that were in elementary school. Poor guy, he was old, and his name was Mr. Smallhair. That was literally his name. We didn't make it up. He was just like bald.
Do you have a song for him or no?
No song for Smallhair. But he would. We would cause trouble in one part of the... He was like... He was kind of like a lunch attendant. And he would have to be out on the playground making sure no one got killed.
Yeah.
But he just had funny shoes and overalls, and he would just walk real slow. Mm-hmm. So we would purposely go to one corner of the baseball field and make it look like there was trouble. Someone was getting beat up.
Yeah.
And he would come waddling all the way across the field. And as soon as he got there, we'd all run to the other side and start trouble over there and make him walk all the way back. So mean. Poor Mr. Smallhair.
Yeah. I guess we had like a little bit more. The other thing like during that time was, I don't know if this ever happened, but if someone called in a bomb threat.
Ooh.
The school had to be evacuated.
Right.
And this is before there actually were bombs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just like everyone knew that that was like the
go-to.
You had to do it. So just 1 year, somebody ended up calling. I think they found out the guy who did it. But so they would just load everyone out to the football field.
Uh-huh.
And it happened, I think, like twice in 1 week, like in June at the end of school.
Yeah.
And there was like a big, you know, this is kind of like country, and there's, you know, there was like a creek where there's like a trestle that everyone used to like jump off the trestle. So the second bomb threat that week that everyone's just sitting out there for 2 hours, all of a sudden everyone just starts going for the fence. And it was just like watching that World War Z movie, you know, when they're like going over the wall.
Yeah.
It was like a thousand kids like going over the wall, the fence, and then everyone just goes swimming. And it was like Caddyshack.
And one teacher's trying to stop everybody.
Well, no, they said the whole big thing was like, if anyone has wet hair, do not let them back into the school.
It was such an innocent time. Like, you could do all those crazy things because there was no reality of something really insane happening.
Yeah.
Like, people wouldn't get shot, and there wouldn't be a chance of it being a real bomb, you know, and people would pull fire alarms. They were pranks at the time.
Yeah.
Because the things hadn't turned so heinous.
Well, you also realize that you could have gotten away with anything. Like, nothing really sticks with you.
Like, no, like,
you
when think. I said, like, I was friends with the bad kids, it's like, why were they bad? Like, because they, you know, put shaving cream on someone's locker.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's as evil as the people got.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't this other level of stuff. You could have done anything because... But you stood out if you did anything because everybody else was so nice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like when there was a couple of kids that were definitely not going to make it for the whole ride. Like,
yeah.
They're kind of in machine shop already.
Yeah.
And but middle school was like, literally, that was one, you know, we were in shop class making those, the toolboxes.
Yeah.
And every, you know, every time you cut the metal, then everyone does the spot weld and turns into Chinese stars.
Right.
So now everyone's got like metal Chinese stars. It was really like a dangerous warfare time.
The shop was always a little sketchy.
Yeah.
The kids that went to shop were...
We definitely shouldn't have been like allowed to do any of that stuff.
No. One kid, actually, that's the ugliest that it got, was one kid, I think he got expelled, because he made a pipe bomb.
What?
Yeah, he made a pipe bomb, and he lit it at a temple.
Jeez.
You're like, during, you know, the middle.
See, that's like big city stuff.
That kid actually ended up drowning at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like senior year, or like right after senior year, maybe.
It seems like he was like a big dodged kind of a bullet.
Just kind of like a big crazy guy, and yeah, and he was like a really nice kid, like, but troubled, I guess, at the same time.
Yeah, that. Well, the only time that I kind of got in trouble, this wasn't my fault though. You know how you take? I don't even. Did they have home ec anymore? Or is that like?
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Yeah, that's
we didn't.
That was like we had to like. You know,
where a woman learned how to sew.
No, but everyone had to do
it. And make a pie.
So everyone had to do, this is like.
We need to make sweatpants.
Really progressive that everyone had to take shop and everyone had to learn how to sew.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
These are good skills to have.
And so we're making cookies or a cake or something. And I still, it's the most time I've ever spent in a kitchen in my life. And terrible. I think the last time I used an oven. and basically, like, we put the stuff in, and then, you know, there's that, the one lever is like, I don't know if that's the lock or something,
yeah.
But it ends up being, I don't know if you remember this, when they had self-cleaning ovens.
Uh-huh.
So that's what it was.
Oh.
Was the self-cleaning oven. So basically, like, it went up to, like,
10,000
degrees, and, like, everything in there was pulverized. And then, like, the home ec teacher wanted to, like, throw me out of school. And I was just like, I don't know what the hell. I don't know what that lever does.
Yeah.
Like, you think that I know what self-cleaning
like
means?
Yeah, like it was a diabolical plan of yours.
So I think they, like, convinced her, but she was, like, she was, you know, convinced that I was trying to sabotage the cookies.
Hilarious. Yeah, well, you were a rebel.
But, I mean, none of that sticks to you now. Where is your permanent record now? Nobody knows what you did. Nobody that food fight isn't on record.
I think my wife, like, got her high school records for something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget what it was for.
Because a friend of mine is actually the superintendent of my school district now.
No,
so.
You know what she got? She found from the school... Whether or not she had gotten the second measles vaccine.
Oh.
Because she was traveling back east and some places, you know, with those weirdos that don't vaccinate their children and they're bringing back measles.
Yeah.
Because I guess they want to have a fun thing to work on. And, yeah, like, I couldn't imagine finding out if I was... there's no way... I would have a record of anything.
Yeah, like I have like a few report cards, which I think are fun to to read. And it was like, you know, not only a couple years ago, and I was just like, hey, where's like the permanent record stuff? And they're like, well, if it's more than 10 years old, they probably got rid of it. I was like, 10 years?
Yeah.
Like that's so yeah. You're like still in your 20s, and they've just gotten rid of everything that ever happened.
When I was writing my book, I... was writing about school, and I looked up some of the teachers' names to see, right? To see, you got to be able to find some. Couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, pre-internet, it was like, that's when everyone lied on their resumes and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
So you see, this is two guys who don't leave, and you sit at the bar, and you see your friends, and they come in, and that's a nice thing. You know, it's you're close to the roots of where all that stuff happened, and
right.
You know, someone walks in and you remember them from whatever, and you know, small town living.
But like we've had this discussion before,
mm-hmm.
there is a lot of baggage that comes with really old friendships and family stuff, and like that is enough to make people move. Just to
yeah, it is messy.
Like I had a
friend. Everybody's in everybody's business, and you also get bored, so everybody ends up sleeping with each other's wives and
yeah,
drinking too much.
Yeah, that
I'm not saying it's a picnic.
Well, I mean, we talked about that once about like, is it better to have newer friends or older friends? And it's just like, well, it's good to have the history of the old friends, but then when you really spend time, like there's a couple friends that I've known since kindergarten, and we still can like share a hotel room or something like
right.
that. But I've had friends that are like, you know, I haven't seen this guy in 10 years. He's a nightmare, man. He's yeah.
like whatever happened to this guy?
He's supposed to stay at my house for like a week, and I had to throw him out. And
yeah,
people deal with that now. It's just like, wow, I guess I had like not a really good filter back in high school. You know, I was just friends with whoever wanted to like drink yeah. beer or play video games or something.
Yeah, well, you didn't have a lot of choices, so those are your those are your pals.
So the filter of like, so you have a house with a guest room. How tight is the how fine is the filter of who would you let stay here?
Because
it changes. Like if you have someone for 2 days, that yeah. changes your whole week, right?
No, 100%. Well, the problem is, we have an open door policy. Like if anybody's coming out, they can stay here, whatever.
Right.
And you know, we're close with our families and stuff like that, and even friends if they want to stay here.
And you also travel, so it's good to have people.
The hardest part is that you it messes your whole week up. You're just all of a sudden you're on vacation too.
Yeah, and you gotta be tour guide. And
yes, that's what's hard. It's like, and it's fun, but then you realize I haven't done anything in
yeah.
2 weeks because we had back to back people coming in.
Right,
but you know, where if you all lived in the same town, you would just see each other every single day, and it wouldn't be a vacation. It would be a nightmare.
Well, I mean, but we talked about that when we went to New York last time. Like you gave me that proposal of would you like to stay at like a friend's house or a family person's house or just stay in a hotel for a night? And you're always like, I don't know. I mean, that's like
yeah,
a different breakfast time, a different like
yeah.
People think you're weird that if you stay up past 10. You know, like
no, just, I know it's
and it's more about me not wanting to impose on somebody than
right. Know. And you know, they're getting tired of you, and you know, we're helping my nephew out, and you know, he's out here finding work and figuring everything out, and he's staying, and you know, we're happy to help him and happy to have him be here, and the kids love him, and it's all great. But you could tell after a while, he starts to feel a little self-conscious, like, am I welcome?
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to just live and do his thing. And the problem is people don't live the same way.
Right.
You know, he's in his 20s and wants to have friends over and start hanging out at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, we're pulling the drapes and turning the volume down and, you know, cruising into. So it's like, you know, if you don't live the same in the same rhythm,
yeah,
it's difficult.
Yeah, like I stayed at a friend's house and, you know, they were all in bed by the time I even finished my show.
Right.
And he's like a friend who kind of knows, like yeah. they understand, but it's just like any other situation, I would feel terrible. They're like, yeah. I didn't even like say hello to these people and I'm like in their house.
Yeah. I think we've got it pretty much figured out. And in that you know, you had to go out and make your living and go do stuff other places. But I think it's important to go back as often as you can.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good when you do. That's why it's great that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law still live in that same town. It's because like we still have one connection where you can kind of like go and then see everybody and
right.
feel connected there. When my parents moved, as your parents did, all of a sudden you lose that,
mm-hmm.
that the roots there.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yeah.
But when they moved, you know, they went up there for the summer and they stayed in basically the hotel in town that was, you know, the restaurant was Cheers, basically. So, right. Like, they didn't even have to go anywhere. They just saw everyone in town eventually.
Yeah.
You know, like, every time I went to visit them, yeah. I saw, like, somebody I hadn't seen in 20 years or something.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And the ghost hunters.
Right. All right. Where can the people see you? Are you you're performing in Seattle?
No, I'm going... Well, yeah, I'll be... You can just go to paulhasawebsite.com, and, yeah, I think... I'm trying to think if there's tickets. It's like a corporate thing. But where are you going to be? Are you
I will be here for a while. I'm doing the Sirius XM show every day, 7 to 9.
How's the schedule, Tom? Are you getting used to... The mornings?
No. No.
Morning, Tom?
I'm not used to it.
How many cups of coffee are we up to?
They give me a giant thermos filled with coffee, and I drink the whole thing while I'm in there. So, it's insane. It really is insane. But it's a fun show to do, so I'll be doing that. And then if you go to tompapa.com, you see all the dates. I'm heading to Fish Creek, Wisconsin, Red Wing, Minnesota, Denver, Colorado, Detroit. Something else in Wisconsin, Oshkosh, Wilmington, nice. Delaware, Saratoga, Clearwater, a whole bunch of dates coming up. So you can find all that stuff out there. And also I'm going to be guest hosting Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Nice.
In a couple weeks. I think it's the Labor Day weekend thing.
Is it in Chicago?
It's in Chicago. I'll be guest hosting. You got to go in for like the whole week to work on it and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And Paula Poundstone will be on that show with me. And, yeah, I'm going to actually be filling in for Peter Segal.
Will we be able to... We have to have Paula on as a guest just because it feels like we're, like...
I know.
It feels like we've been staying at her house while she's away.
Yeah, we keep following her everywhere we go.
We end up in every theater, and everyone always tells us Paula Poundstone stories, and she was just here.
She was just here. I know. I told her whenever we come to a place where we think... When we're like thinking, should we go out to eat? What should we do? We always think, what would Paula do? And she said, I stayed in my room. All right, everybody. We're also going to post the live show. We're behind on that. So why don't we just post that on Thursday for everybody?
Okay.
And so it'll be a little double whammy for y'all. And that's it. Enjoy your life.